my eyes when you look at me. They are so gorgeous, they'll set you free. Could it be my walk or just my stare that makes you freeze when I appear? Super good looking, every hair in place. Everyone loves this gorgeous face. You can't deny my beauty shot on everything that you are not. Part man, but all modern.
Oh, yes. You knew we'd be back, and we are back. My name's Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn Joe! Joe Carolyn Show! Hey, how's it going, Carolyn?
So great.
So gorgeous. Gorgeous. Gorgeous,
gorgeous,
gorgeous. Gorgeous. Just so you guys know, my name is Joe Carabeo. I am a filmmaker, a writer, but today I am a podcaster, and across from me in a Straight Production studio is the gorgeous, the absolutely breathtaking, the cartoonist of the world, Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hey.
How's
girl.
It going?
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. How are you?
It's getting cold, Carolyn. It's getting cold. At least today. We got a hurricane coming, apparently.
There's a hurricane coming through.
There's a hurricane coming through.
You know what?
Through.
We should have used that music for our intro, but maybe next time.
I think this is okay.
I mean,
because
Tyler Breeze, you get the breeze with, like, the whole storm coming through. That kind of relates.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
That's what you're going for.
Yeah, sure. But, I mean, mainly, yeah. Maybe there's a hurricane. Sometimes whenever we've had hurricanes come through. Oh yeah! Also, happy what's it called?
National Podcasting Day. Yeah.
That was a couple days ago, but you know we go on our own time.
Yeah, I mean, might as well make it a podcasting week. We're still a part of it.
Yeah, we got lives to uphold. We still fly under the radar. That's just how we do it. But yeah, apparently there's a hurricane coming through, named Joaquin.
I keep thinking of, like, Joaquin Phoenix, like, going through everything, and he's like, I'm gonna destroy it all.
I mean, serious, if you look through everyone's feed and everyone's joke, everyone's having some sort of Joaquin Phoenix picture or something.
I mean, that was, like,
through.
The first thing I thought of, but then
that's
I was
the
like,
only
I don't
thing.
Really want to
any...
do that, because I know someone else is gonna do that.
I don't know any other Joaquin.
I don't know anyone named Joaquin.
I mean, how is that even possible? I mean, that's only one name?
There's only one. Only one. Joaquin
but, you know,
Phoenix.
There's times where people say a hurricane is coming and nothing really happens. It's just a little rain and people are like, oh, that's it. You know?
I mean, it depends because it's hard to track the storm. Sometimes
you can't track a storm. It's impossible.
Well, sometimes they veer off into the ocean and nothing really happens. But
yeah.
Either way, we're getting rain. Let's put it that way.
We got rain.
A whole weekend full of rain on the East Coast of the United States.
They're making it rain.
Make it rain. Or like maybe with Joaquin Phoenix, maybe he's like, oh, maybe I'm like reuniting with River.
Maybe.
And then the rain is coming because he wants to make it a river.
Maybe,
what do you think about that?
Maybe this is his
with
next.
River
this
Phoenix.
Is his next performance. River Phoenix is awesome. I think River Phoenix was awesome.
Well, maybe this is like a connection with the storm.
River
what
Phoenix,
do you think
Joaquin
about that?
Phoenix?
Has anyone ever said that before?
No.
Well, this is a first on the Carolyn and Joe Show.
I don't think they have.
Well, now it's a first. First.
That's the world that we live in.
I know, we live in a... You guys need to realize, I think everyone does realize, but just to reiterate, we live in a world of hashtags and firsts and just copycats and Steelers.
And Steelers? Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah. At least we have Prince Pretty. I mean, Tyler Breeze. Everyone loves that gorgeous face. I mean, it is pretty interesting, his entrance. So that's what we're listening to right now.
Yeah, just so you guys know, we're listening to NXT superstar, WWE NXT superstar Tyler Breeze, his theme music. A guy that I think should, you know, be at the next level. But you know what? Carolyn's news goes first.
Oh, I'm going to the next level right now. So, you guys, we have a big tour date coming up. It's the biggest one that we do. We do New York Comic Con every year. We have been doing it for the past few years. And it's coming up in less than a week. I can't even believe it. So on October 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th, which is this coming Thursday through Sunday, We will be at New York Comic Con, and you can find us at booth 1162 on the main show floor. We will be there with Teresa Roberts Logan, who has been a guest on the show before. So it's Joe and Teresa and I, and we're gonna rock the house. And New York Comic Con tickets have been sold out for a little while, so sorry to say, but if you just found out now, you're a little behind, because New York Comic Con is blowing up the planet, and you gotta get tickets really early these days for a lot of the big shows. But maybe next year, maybe you can count on it next year and make plans ahead of time. But if you are already going to New York Comic Con and you're listening to this, I hope you can at least drop by the booth for a few minutes and say hi and say that you listened to the podcast. That'll be really cool to hear. And we love meeting people, and, you know, just introduce yourself. Don't be afraid. Like, seriously, not just New York Comic Con, but any show. If you see Joe and I at a show, we don't bite. We want to talk to people. We want to see people, and it doesn't have to be a long altercation, you know? It doesn't have to be like
altercation.
It doesn't have to be like this big discussion, but you know what? You can just stop by and say hi and tell us you heard our podcast. It's really cool to meet people, and we have met several people this way, and sometimes, you know, friendships and more grow out of it. So it's really cool to I am like a people person. Like, on one instance, I might hate all of humanity, but I really do love people, and I really like saying hi to people. So if you're at New York Comic Con, stop by. Again, we're at table 1162 in the small press area in the main show floor. So New York is going to be pretty crazy this year. We should talk about that later on the show. But also, another tour date, if you're missing out on New York and you still want to catch us, we will be at Cartoonist Draw Blood. That's this Halloween, October 31st. It's a Saturday. And we'll be at Seekers Church in the Tacoma Park Metro from 10 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. And what Cartoonist Draw Blood is, if you don't know, we've been doing it for, I guess, we've done it twice already, and this is our third time, and it's really exciting. Basically, I hooked up with the American Red Cross, and I was like, hey, I want to do a blood drive. That took, you know, this whole big thing to, like, get this thing organized.
You did this on your own, too. You did this on your own.
Yes, I started
it. Anyone's help, you know what I mean?
I just started it on my own.
You believed in the vision, and it's successful because of your...
I think it is very successful. I mean, we've already, like, fact, we've already saved the lives of up to 120 strangers, which is pretty amazing. Think about a group of people in a room, 120 people. It's like, they could be dead now, but we saved them.
It's really cool because it's like, you know...
And that affects all their families and all their jobs and, like, everything else that they touch. So
I personally like...
several hundred people that we've saved.
I personally like this type of event, because it's not about, like, drinking or getting drunk or, like, you know, like, stuff like that. It's actually, like,
it's actually the opposite of
that. It's actually, like, trying to, like, do something, you know, like, positive out there that's not selfish. It's, like, it's actually giving back. You know what I mean? It's not just like, hey, let's go party. No, it's like, you know, it's like, it's a fun environment to have. You know what I mean? That you get, you know what I mean? It's sort of like you are saving lives. And that's the one thing that's great about this. It's artists coming together to save lives.
Yeah, and it's really cool. So what it is you can pre-register, sign up for a time slot, which we'd really encourage because it just helps with traffic throughout the day. So if you want to give blood, it's a pint of blood. And Joe and I have done it before. It's like I had a fine experience doing it. Like, I thought it would be, you know, a lot, like, in my head I was like, blood, but I actually didn't have much of a problem doing it at all. So you can email, if you're interested in donating, email cartoonistsdrawblood@gmail.com, and we'll hook you up with a time slot. We are having one person every 15 minutes, and you know, that's again from 10 a.m. till 3:30 p.m. at Seekers Church.
So 5 hours.
Right near Tacoma Park Metro. And what happens is you'll be able to give your blood, and then also you'll be able to meet a whole bunch of cartoonists. We don't actually draw your blood, but we will draw for you. And you can get custom sketches, original sketches done for you right then and there. We are in a separate location than where the blood area is, which is good, because I feel like they kind of need to be separated. I don't want to, like, draw while you're, like, you know, getting worked on, but... yeah, it's a nice environment, though. You get to hang, it's basically like hanging out with a bunch of cartoonists, before or after, I guess after you give blood, it would probably be better, but you can hang out with us before if you'd like.
Yeah.
It's pretty chill, and like, I like also during there's a little downtime, because like I said, there's one person every 15 minutes, but sometimes, you know, we do allow walk-ins, so if you're not doing anything on Halloween, please come to Seekers Church and donate blood. it's hard to like determine how many people are going to come at one time because of the walk-ins, but you know, having an appointment helps. So again, email cartoonistdrawblood@hotmail.com.
So we just got back from what, Baltimore Comic Con?
And SPX was the week before.
And Small Press was the one. So we're in it. We're in the touring season now.
It's always rough. I mean, like, I totally enjoy going to shows, but
it's rough, man.
It's pretty rough with not a negative rough.
Just sort of like a road of like, you know, when you're like, okay, we got some turbulence and patchiness ahead of us where we're gonna make it through.
Yeah. At New York, I'm already like, you know, I'm like trying to be like, I better get some sleep before, because it wears you out. I mean, it's like a parade of people walking by and talking with people and trying to connect with people, and it's not necessarily easy, but I do like meeting people.
But here's the thing though, like majority of the time, whenever you're at like a table or anything like that, or really whenever you meet anyone, they're always like, how's it going, how you doing today? And like
and in my head I'm just like, I'm worn out, but I'll try to be spontaneous.
But growing up, or even like going through like, you know, like going through college and going through all that, where people were like, we're busting their ass and stuff like that. And I would ask someone like, how they doing? And they would always have to like, you know, they would always be like, they'd always say how stressed they were or how much they have on their plate, and just making it seem like their life is so heavy. And I don't know, there's something about whenever I feel like I have to respond to that question, I don't want to come across like that. I don't know if it's just me, but I don't want to. Because I feel like there's an energy that gets passed off. You're like, oh, I'm so stressed. There's so many things happening in my life right now. Or like, this happened, blah, 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 blah. And like, usually if I do have a conversation that starts, it's like when you start a conversation like that, for me, it's like almost saying like, yeah, my best friend died and now I got to do this and like I got to do all this. So it's like, wow, where
but
do I really...
But there are some people that have like major weeks of like their parents dying and then their car breaks down or something, and like all at once.
No doubt. But like, I feel like there is like a certain energy. It's like... Well, I just try to take note of, like, if someone were to tell me that, like, I know it's hard for me as a person to respond, to be like, oh, well, you know, everything's going to be okay. Or like, oh, yeah. It usually goes into, like, a negative or, like, sort of like a darker downward spiral of conversation. So whenever someone is always, like, you know, they would ask me, because, they always want to, like, feed... You know what I'm saying? There's like an energy feed. It's like if they're having a bad day, they want to know if I'm having a bad day, then everyone's just going to talk about how you know, everyone's so easy to talk about how bad the day is going. So for me, I want to do a combo breaker to that, where I'm just like, I want to flash it back with the pods of energy. You know what I mean? So usually I'm just like, well, I'm not a millionaire. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you know, hey, we're rocking and rolling. I always try to give that energy back, but it's sort of tough. But I felt like I had to deal with a lot of that at Baltimore, and it's okay. But like, I feel like that's a good exercise.
But it's like, it's not a bad question to ask, because some of these people we see once a year, the question
is not bad. It's finding the response to keep the it's finding the right response to make the conversation awesome and like fun, not just everyone starting like bitching and moaning. Because for some reason at this Baltimore Comic Con, I was reading a lot how there's like all this controversy. I was reading about the cease and desist or like all this stuff like that.
Wait, what is a cease and desist? What is that about?
Well, because like they're saying, well, there's like this rumor going around with all in Artist Alley where Disney and Marvel are going to give cease and desist letters to anyone.
Oh, were they doing that?
And they're going to give that to people who do that like in New York Comic Con. Like, so they're going to have to like not be able to have like Star Wars, like if they're selling like properties and stuff that they don't own, which, you know, it's understandable. But like, I was hearing that, so like there's this like, at least from a few, I don't, you know,
so basically
at least from the
fan
ones.
Art is coming on an attack.
Well, I don't know. I really didn't think deep into it because, you know, I just want to go on with my life. But, you know, the impressions, I was like, oh, because, you know, several people will say different things about certain subjects. So there was one half where I was hearing,
I mean, that discussion's been around for a while. It's just that now, I guess, if they're actually handing out paperwork, then that's a whole nother level.
I mean, it's a discussion for one thing, but like when, when I was passing by and I took some time to walk around Baltimore Comic Con, I heard it as like a sense of urgency to sell all of my stuff now. As like, that's part of the pitch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know who it was, and I'm not good with names. And if I say names, people will get on my ass about it. But, you know, that's how people are. But, like, I saw the part of, like, yeah, so in New York, there's going to be cease and desist, so I'm not going to be able to have any of these. So I'm having a sale on these right now. You can get these right now. You know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I was like, damn, that's a pretty damn good ploy. You know what I mean? It's like, this is the only chance for you to get it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know a lot of conventions don't really necessarily actually have rules about these things. Unless they're in the small print and I haven't really read them, because I don't know what New York Comic Con's stance is on fan art.
Yeah, it's not New York Comic Con, it's there's, you know.
But maybe the conventions need to do something about it.
But what I'm saying is from my impression is that like you're ripe for the picking for basically, since you're in the biggest convention on the East Coast, that the representatives will be there. So you're ripe for the picking to get that cease and desist letter because everyone is there. It's like what you were saying before. It's like, well, if you're gonna knock out all the heads of state, they're all in one room here.
Oh yeah.
So why don't you just take and get your lobby boys in there at that moment so you can just sit around. You know what I mean? You can just
look. Where's my lobby boy?
You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. if I was like the corporate master, I'd be like, you know what? Why are we gonna go to all these small conventions and give them cease and desist, but we can hit them all up in New York Comic Con where they're all in one giant room, you know?
Well,
what I mean?
Here's my stance on this, because I don't know, some people might disagree, but
well, of course people should disagree.
Well here's my deal. Like, if I was running a show, and this is easy to say because running a show is very hard work and I'm just looking at it from a bystander, but I really do take pride in people that create their own stuff. So I would like to see more Artist Alley participants actually make their own stuff rather than just drawing Batman or Superman. Now, granted, if you have actually worked on those properties and got a paycheck, an actual pay stub by DC and Marvel, I feel like you do have the right to draw those characters because that's what you draw. And that's what people know you for.
Or else what are they going to have? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And that makes complete sense to me, but...
But you're talking about these people that just
if you're
have
like,
these massive amounts of prints, right?
Yeah, there are people out there, for those of you that haven't been to a convention or don't exactly know what we're talking about, there are people out there at these comic shows who set up an artist alley, and they have all these prints and artwork of characters that they've actually never worked directly with. Like, I can sit down, okay, like, I've never gotten a pay stub from DC or Marvel myself, but I don't have a table full of, like, Batman, Spider-Man, whatever, Miracle Man, Marvel, all this stuff, you know, like, all these things.
I wish
like,
we had Miracle Man. I mean,
but, like, you know, name any character, you know, that is out there.
Plastic Man.
Martian Manhunter.
Elastic Man.
Like, you know, all these superheroes, right? Let's just say superheroes, because that's most well-known. And their table is loaded with that, and they have no original content, no original characters, no comic books, no sequential pages. It's all just fan art. And there's nothing wrong with doing fan art. Like, I think it's a way that you can show your skill, show your talent, show your take on a character, show your, you know, like I said, show your style. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but it's just the fact that kills me is that it's the whole table, or their whole booth display, is all fan art. Like, in my head, like, if I was running a show, I would want it to be, like, a breakdown. Like, 75% of your own original stuff, and then 25% of fan art. If that's how they're gonna go with, I don't know about the cease and desist, but I feel like there needs to be a lesser amount of fan art, quite honestly, because it's just overwhelming. But the reason why people do fan art in defense of fan art is that a lot of people that go to conventions, it's really hard to sell them on original material.
That's true.
They don't want to take a chance on it because they're like, I never heard of this. Oh, you don't have your own movie. Because, oh, you're not on IMDb. I don't know who you are. You know, like, if you're like, not the big name,
because
they don't
truthfully,
care.
Truthfully, people follow brand names.
And that's fine. And I understand that. People want to play it safe and they only want to know something that they've known for their whole life. Like, what Superman and Batman have been around for decades, you know? Like, they're like, it's an ongoing property. And that's amazing. I'm not trying to down any of these superheroes or DC or Marvel. But what I'm getting at is that there needs to be this, like, resurgence in... Now, I don't want to necessarily even call it indie or independent comics, but they're just original material, let's say. Because it's to me, it's like you can draw Batman all day long, but and a lot of them look really great. But it's just that, like, to me, it's like you don't own it. So to me, I don't even feel compelled to, like, really draw Batman or whoever, just because, like, I'm like, that's not my character. That's how I think. And that being said, like, I have drawn, you know, some superheroes. No, I don't have a whole bunch of prints that I'm selling at these shows of those superheroes. But if somebody has a sketchbook and they're like, oh, draw me Supergirl, I will do that for them because that's their own personal private sketchbook. And I'm not necessarily, I'm doing original art for them. That's still my take on it. But yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just a different breed of creator. Like, I'm an actual creator. Like, I want to do original stuff. And Joe is too. And what bothers me is just seeing a whole lineup of fan art. And I'm not saying that artist doesn't deserve to be there or anything. But I'm just pleading. Like, can you please at least have an original character or an original book? Or even any sequential pages? Like, that, you know, it's all posters and pinups and stuff.
And also, to me, it also shows the limitation of a lot of, like, the audience too. At the same time, it's like, it's also like, well, they still just, you know, they still just relate comic books just to being superhero, which makes complete sense.
It does.
But at the same time, it's like, when I see, you know, and this, you know, it's almost like a money making scheme too. It's like, okay, these people buy superheroes, so I'm going to draw superheroes, and they're going to get it, and they're just going to pay for it. You know what I mean? And that makes sense to me. But at the same time, I just come from a creator background, and I wish. You know, how are you going to make new stars if we keep on just retreading these new guys, these same guys? Nothing wrong with these guys. They're classic characters. But at the same time, I am very interested to see, like, new things out there. Yeah. But also, maybe that's just me being a snob at this point. Maybe I am a comic book snob that actually does not read everything.
Well, then there's also this whole other level of fandom. We'll just call it fandom, is that some of these shows now have people that make pillows or what is that type of art where you, like, melt these little plastic pieces and you have, like, you put them in, like, these little pins and then you bake them.
I have no idea what
that is. Or you iron them or something.
I have absolutely no clue what
that is. But basically, it's like some type of craft projects. Like, there are straight up craft projects that feature, like, Nintendo characters or, you know, any of the superheroes or quilts. Like, I've seen somebody make, and the quilts look awesome. Like, I'm not diminishing what they're doing. Like, it actually looks amazing. But, like, they're still using other people's characters. They don't, you know, like, I'm not against them doing that, but I don't know, man. It's, I guess it's what's familiar and what people want, you know? But like, also, I can't see, like, a seamstress there being like, these are my original quilts.
Yeah.
So.
But I do see this, like, whenever I did see, you know, growing up, this is what I thought when I saw the Artist Alley and I see other people drawing, like, the characters and stuff like that, other licensed characters. I saw that as a way of, like, that's their audition. Like, they're all,
yeah.
I always assumed, like, everyone there who is an Artist Alley, they have their portfolio, you know what I mean? And they're trying, whenever they see a guy from Marvel or DC, that's why they're drawing them.
Yeah.
So they can go and, like, hey, I want to work for you. This is what I am. You know
what
I mean?
And that does make sense. But all I'm asking is that, like, I mean, maybe the breakdown of 75 original and 25, like, established characters is a little steep.
But also, like, what will they have out there then? What will they have? They can't have those giant walls of anime or manga or half-naked Poison Ivy, or she's already naked. But
I mean, I don't know what I have to say about the people that do 100%.
Because that's,
like,
the thing.
Other people's
what
characters.
Would happen if they do take it out? Would they just be everyone have nothing left?
But maybe it would encourage those people to actually create new stuff.
Because maybe
if anything, like, I'm asking these people to be more competitive with us, which is scary.
Well, it's also, like, because that's where the division is of Artist Alley and Small Press or whatever it is, right? Because these guys are artists just drawing, but then the Small Press has, like, their own creations,
yeah.
Right?
I think that, I mean, I don't know if they have, like, distinct rules about where everyone is going, but I mean, the Small Press people have their own creations too.
That's what I'm saying. The Small Press is more catered towards making original work, while the artists, see, I always thought Artist Alley was supposed to be majority of people who worked for Marvel and DC growing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, like, who it was, but then now it was, like, but then you do have, like, the, see, this is the thing that starts feeling weird about Artist Alley to me. It becomes very much a, this is, I mean, nothing's wrong with it, but it becomes a, artist on the street doing a caricature type
I mean, there
road,
are
you know
some
what I mean?
Of those people that do are that are there, and but it, maybe there's I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, that if you draw a caricature of somebody.
I mean, you gotta draw something,
like,
you know.
Yeah.
No, but that's what it starts feeling like.
I know what you
that's
mean.
What
like
it starts
like
feeling
a,
like, and
like
I'm
a marketplace
and
or
that,
something.
And to me, I'm just, you know, I'm a storyteller, and to me, I'm like, wow, these, and we're supposed to be around the storytelling world, but it becomes sort of like, you know, where you do see an artist like in a market or like in a festival and like, hey, let me draw you over
but
here.
But maybe that adds to the excitement of the conventions, you know, like it's just like, oh, you can get some guy to draw your kid and then the kid's excited about that. And then you can turn to the next table and like this guy has like his original graphic novel.
And they can take home something to remember the, like memories. Yeah.
And so in a way, like, I'm like, that's cool. Or you can turn to the next table and get like a quilt and be like, oh man, my wife loves Captain America. That's a perfect quilt for her. She's going to need that when she gets cold this winter. And like, they'll buy that.
Really, you know,
it's
just like, a massive marketplace.
It is a massive marketplace. And I remember New York Comic Con, remember they had that, I forget what they called it, but it was some type of marketplace that had just random stuff. Like, do you remember that year that they called it that? It was
random stuff?
No, it wasn't called random stuff, but they had a cool, funky name for it. It was like the Shield or something. It wasn't like the Shield. No, but it was like they had a name for what they, I can't even remember what
Hounds
it was.
Of Justice.
No, but it was like a little like the Hangout or something like that. Yeah. It was like a
the
cool
block was
the block. That's what it was. And I don't know if they still have it or not, but they were promoting the block for a while, and that was like where you could basically get like any type of fan art or I don't know, like you could dress like a fairy or something, a wizard, and like they had like just all types of costumes. And then you turned around and they had like wristbands, and then you turn around and they had like charms for your cell phone or something. Like there was just like all these little knickknacks and stuff. But yeah, that was the block. And then they even had like people that did like custom silkscreen posters, and like it was pretty cool. Like it was just a variety. And I have noticed that Artist Alley is basically Artist Alley of the past was straight up artists, I think, that were drawing DC and Marvel characters because, yes, like you said, they wanted an audition, or they're like, look at, you know, and even back then, though, they would show like sequential pages, I feel like.
Yeah,
but now,
they did have sequential
pages. But now it's just like posters and prints of pinups of characters, and that's all fine and dandy, but they don't actually, like, they're not, like you were saying, they're not storytellers. They're,
well, because that's the one thing
just
where,
selling prints.
And that's the one thing, like, whenever I would read comics, like, back in, like, the 90s and stuff, they would just have a section of just, like, pinups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, people doing pinups. But then, like, to me, I'm like, because there was a time where, like, okay, you're good at doing pinups, but let me see you tell a story. And
yeah.
And sometimes they
I
can't
mean,
tell
like
a story. You know what I mean?
The main advice of what a lot of people do.
Yeah, they're usually like that. So, like, I was like, are you trying to tell a story or what's going on? But
a lot of people just want to be, like, cover artists, and that's, you know.
And that's totally fine.
And that's fine. But, like,
it's all
most
fine,
of, but most of these editors, they want to see more than that.
Unless they want to cover artists, you know?
But not many people just do covers, unless you're, like, James Jean. Like, I think he's, like, the only, has James Jean ever
I've
done
never,
interior?
But he's an illustrator, though. He
yeah.
does,
he's like,
I don't
a fine,
think
he's almost
never,
like a fine artist.
Yeah, he never focused on
comic
that.
Art.
Another controversy, well, or conversation that was happening. What, do you have something else?
We can wrap up the Artist Alley discussion, because it's going to be an ongoing discussion, but I guess what I'm saying is that in the whatever 10 years ago, it used to be like basically showcasing a portfolio, but now it's just turned into like the best word for it is like a straight up marketplace.
I mean, really,
it's just like everything goes,
I can't get mad at someone who can make that money, you know, somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's why I'm like, well, if they come and cease and desist, does that mean they're gonna take the fear is if like all of a sudden they start getting they start getting like sued, and you're like, well, all the money you made on there, now you have to pay it to us back.
See,
that's the fear.
That gets into legal stuff that I don't even know where that would go. But I do think that even if you are an independent creator, it is good to have at least one thing of a established character that draws people into. Like, I didn't have it at Baltimore Comic Con, and I guess I haven't had it for the past few shows, but I do have like a Wonder Woman print, and it's Wonder Woman as if she was in Mad Men. Like, it's like her take. She kind of looks like she's a secretary wearing like her pencil skirt. And I mean, it's a totally different Wonder Woman. So in my eyes, I'm like, oh, I'm not trying to like copy it or be like it's, I do have a little spin on it.
Well,
so I feel like I like the ones that have a little spin on it.
But also you were contacted to make that too.
Yeah. And I did that for Wonder Woman Day. So it wasn't like I was like, haha, I'm going to sneak in on
empire. You're not at home just making like 50 different Wonder Woman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm going to go sell
but
these,
I do think
put a wall of Wonder Woman up there.
But I do think it's good to like to show that, because it gets people to come over. Even like people, when I did a cover for Adventure Time, and a whole bunch of people like kind of peek in because they're like, oh, I love Adventure Time. And it's, then it gets them to look at your other stuff.
It's a tough conversation at the same time. But the key is we're not trying to make our whole entire bang off of just other people's stuff, though.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, heck no. I don't even want to do that, honestly. And
that's a personal thing.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Some people have no shame, you know, and they love the characters a lot, and they just want to show their fan art. Like, even on the internet, a lot of it is fan art. But it does showcase your skill.
To me, though, if you can hustle it, so people you draw, if you can hustle the game for people to be drawn in by the mainstream characters, and then you slide in your character at the end, your books, then that's a fine hustle. You know what I mean? You got to be able to lead the horse to water, whatever the line is. I don't know what it is.
But the other thing is that I noticed at Baltimore this year was the first year that we were set up in the Kids Love Comics section. And I have to say that section, at least
because that's majority creator owned,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like from my perspective, I totally enjoyed being in that section because
that almost was a small press area, because I don't remember seeing any other small press area in
But isn't that crazy
Baltimore.
Though how like the Kids Love Comics section is basically I mean, I know that there were probably some people in Artist Alley that do their own books too, but maybe they're not oriented to kids. But like the Kids Love Comics section, though, like 95% of it was like straight up, like, this is my book, you know, like, yeah. And that felt so healthy to me. Like, it felt awesome. But yeah, I mean, I do think something has to be done about Artist Alley, but also I don't want to deprive people of like making money or, you know, doing their art. And if they really love doing superhero prints, like I don't want to be against them.
I mean, really what's going to happen is just it's going to get differentiated even further, because you do need the places where, because like places like in New York, that's where like all the big comic book guests artists
and
are
those,
there. That's where
they
are too.
A lot of the New York Artist Alley, though, are people that are actually working on
Marvel
those
and DC. That's where you get to see them.
Yeah.
That's what they're used to
like,
seeing. That's what I'm accustomed to. Like, yeah. Wow, you worked in this. You worked in this. You worked in this. Just a straight line of that, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to fill tables, man.
Feel like at New York Artist Alley, I feel like you're going to see much less of the big banners with prints. I mean, there might be a couple people that do that, but
it's
always
not going
to be the whole
thing. It's really amazing because you can strategically see a difference. Because usually if you do have like a Scott Snyder, or you have a Greg Capullo, or you have a Mike Allred and stuff like that, they don't have those big banners. It's like just them and just a stack of stuff. You know what I mean? And a pencil. That's it. That's how you know. That's how you know that just those are the artists that are working there. You know what I mean? You'll see a Riley Brown. You see a Terry Dodson there. You'll see, you know what I mean? Those guys don't have a wall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you'll be able to see the difference there.
It would be interesting to get some of the viewpoints of those guys that you mentioned view on, like, what I just called, like, also the wall, you know, the wall of prints.
I mean, the lack of view is probably what it's going to be, what they're going to say. That's what annoys me. It's just, if you have those giant walls, I mean, and that's the same reason why you have those walls, so you can get attention, you can get everyone to see it. But at the same time, it's also, like, it's shitty for everyone around you, but again, it's a marketplace. You're trying to get people to your table.
I mean,
so whatever works,
their space,
man.
You know?
Whatever works.
I mean,
but it's annoying either way.
But yeah, what was the other? Because
then they got to make that whole entire thing. I mean, the other thing I was hearing about was that conversation about charging for autographs and stuff like that.
Oh,
and of course, you know, I'm not charging for autographs. No one.
Sign my booby.
But like, I mean, it's.
Well, I hope no one takes that and like makes a ringtone out of that.
What, sign my booby?
Yeah, like just cutting up the audio.
Slice
and dice. But I guess, I did hear conversations about that because, you know, I don't know what to say about the autographs because I feel like, again,
if they're going to pay, let them pay.
Yeah. But the thing is like everyone needs to price their work accordingly. And I don't want there to be like this rule system that's like, if you're at this level of fame, you need to charge this much. If you're at whatever level of fame, you know, like it's.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, well, some people are going to buy it. I mean, if there's already an autograph area with the celebrities. All right. That's where it gets to that toss up point where it's like, okay, so the celebrities, their autograph costs $20, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then these people who have to slave every single day and draw, they're charging for free. So it's sort of that weird, it's that weird hierarchy of, It's that who's actually worth more. You know what I mean? Is an actress or an actor worth more than an artist and a person? You know what I mean? So it's like, well, I mean, they're artists too, but that's what it really comes down to. But really what it comes down to is who was able to negotiate and market more for better for better pricing.
Well, actually,
of course, the comic book people get treated less like a second class citizen, of course.
Because they're not
based on glamour. You know what I mean? They're not based on the glamour of Hollywood being in front of screen.
Yeah. So I guess this all centered around, at least at Baltimore 2015, just last weekend, this all centered also around Neil Adams, who is a comics legend, and he apparently was charging $30 for photo and $30 for a signature.
But here's the thing. He's always charged. He's always been, yes. He's been the front runner he of getting money from runner. Nothing's wrong with that. That's what he's always been.
And so here's
I'm the same for me wanting to get paid for my work too.
Yeah. And there, you know, there's some, I guess, you know, discussions going on about that in Baltimore. And some of the artists were having some type of a donation jar for the Hero Initiative instead of taking the money themselves. They'd be like, hey, if you want me to sign books, there's the Hero Initiative. And I've actually done that before because I've never paid for anyone's autograph, straight up. Like, anyone I've ever met, I've never paid
James
for.
James Jean.
That was an accident.
Okay.
I've never paid for.
I will. Near a Comic Con, if Sarah Michelle Gellar is doing a signing or something, I would think about. Because you know what? That's probably the only chance of getting a meet and greet.
Okay.
That's pretty much the only chance. That is why.
Okay.
I don't know who else either because I'm not going to do a Bryan Cranston or anything like that.
But. So since you mentioned the James Jean altercation, I will briefly go through that because I don't want to like skip past that. So this was at Baltimore, like. A handful of years ago when James Jean was there and I was really excited.
That was the first year, wasn't it?
It was the first or second year we went.
Because that was the infamous James Jean and Paul Pope panel that I filmed that I took a quote from. He's like,
it might have been 2007.
In the future, you know, all this, everyone's going to be on computers, so people who have a brush and have a gun, that's going to look like magic.
Yeah. And so basically, I actually found out from you, you were like, hey, James Jean is at his table and he's doing sketches. And moments before, I guess it was, I don't know if it was the same year, but either that year or the year before, I got like a free sketch from Kenneth Rocafort and he was just straight up doing free sketches.
No, that was the same year.
Was it the same year? Okay, so maybe mentally I just thought that people were doing it for free just based on my, because, okay, think about it. This is my first Baltimore Comic Con. It's actually probably, yes, this is my first actual comic show besides SPX, so it's my first mainstream comic show. So I don't, maybe it's me being ignorant and I didn't know all the rules, but anyway, so I went up to James Jean and I asked him, because like the whole, like there was like maybe four people in front of me and everyone asked for sketch, so I was like, oh, I guess he's just doing sketches for people. And I mean, I didn't see any money exchanged between the other people, honestly, so I don't, maybe I missed something, because I don't know, I wasn't like watching over like a hawk. But anyway, so I asked for my sketch.
Here, just to cut in, usually there's a thing where like the artist won't take the money directly.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe I missed that part of the thing. So anyway, so he did have a handler and I was like, you know, I was like, hey, can you do a sketch for me? And he was like, sure, what would you like? You know, like meanwhile, like not bringing up any price or anything. And I didn't see any signage on his table. And I was like, hey, can you draw me Gerard Way? Because like he was working on Umbrella Academy. I like Gerard Way. I like My Chemical Romance. So seemed like a cool thing for him to draw, and
it seemed like a cool thing for him
yeah
to draw.
It seemed like a cool like double connection, because like, you know, he was doing Umbrella Academy covers and he did like also a little print, he did like these little marching band characters
that's
for
same,
Black Parade,
because Gerard was like, yeah, my favorite artist right now is James Jean, I'd love him to do the covers.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. For me, it'll be like Paul Pope, you know.
Yeah, just throwing that out there.
Yeah,
but anyway, so then James Jean was like, sure, I can draw him for you. And then he was like, which, and I thought this was a cute comment that James said, he was like, which Gerard do you want? He's like, do you want the blonde one or the long black hair? And then I smiled and I was like, long black hair. And then he's like, okay. So he like drew it in like really light blue pencil.
Was it the long black hair?
Yeah,
I thought it was the other one, the patient one.
No, it's the long black hair, because that's what I asked for. But he drew the long black hair in, like, the marching band outfit.
Okay.
It's probably so hard for you to tell because, like, you can't really see anything on the actual sketch that he drew. Because it's, like,
he just
light
did the blue
pencil.
He did the blue line.
But it was, like, super light. Like, seriously, you cannot see it beside
was it,
beyond,
it cost,
like, 2 inches
would
from
it cost
face.
More if it was, like, inked?
I don't know, dude. Anyway, so,
would you,
like,
would you, I mean, I feel like at this point, like, since I know how rare a James Jean even appearance is, like, you know, probably would have thrown down for something awesome.
Well, I didn't know what I was doing, and I just thought it was doing sketches. So then he literally spent probably, like, 2 minutes tops on it, and then he handed it to me. And then his handler was, like, $40. And I, like, was shocked. And I wish I didn't do this, like, in front of James Jean, but I was just like, what? Because, like, I didn't mean to be insulting at all, but I just, like, I don't know, man. I just thought that was kind of... I know he's, like, a star, and I really like his art, but I was just kind of shocked to get to basically only get, like, a light blue pencil sketch. Like, you know, it's, like, non-photo reproduction blue, so, like, not like I would scan it and make a print of it or anything, yeah. But, like, because I would never do that, but, like, you know, I can't even, like, really see it. Like, even if I was to put it on my wall, like, you can only see it from, like, 2 inches from your face, so it's, like, it's basically, like, a sketch that you can't see. It's kind of like, you know, what are those sketches that you have to put a black light on or something?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I can't even see the sketch, barely, you know? So anyway, I was just appalled in a way that it was $40. In a way, I still am appalled, because, like, also, I didn't even see a sign on the table or anything. Like, I thought he was seriously just doing free sketches, and I just asked for one for free. And also, they should have brought up the cost before, you know? Like, I always like to, like, when people ask me to draw something for them, like, if, you know, if I'm just doing this, like, a quick sketch, I'm not gonna say anything, and I'll just do a quick sketch or whatever. But if somebody wants something custom from me, I give a price. I'll be like, that will be X amount. Like, I don't, like, all of a sudden draw it for them and then be like, that'll be $40, you know? Like, anyway, but I was like, what? And then I didn't have any money even with me at the time, so I was just like, oh, I'll be right back. And, like, now that I look back on it, I probably could have just ran away because I just took the sketch and, like, left. But I did, go back to our table and, like, I got the $40 and I explained, like, oh, he wants $40 for this. And then I just, you know, I felt bad. So I just, like, ran back and, like, gave them the $40. And then his handler, I guess, might have felt bad about it. Because I even mentioned, I was like, I don't see a sign anywhere. And they, like, didn't point a sign out to me or anything. So then when I got back, they must have made a sign in between when I got back, because there's, like, this teeny tiny sign that says sketch is $40. It was, like, it was seriously, like, so tiny. And then it was like they took a little index card and, like, folded it in half and then wrote that there. It was so tiny on the table.
Maybe because James Jean realized how many he's doing. So he's like, we could make some bank off of this.
Yeah, but they should have told me. I mean, maybe I was just being ignorant. I don't know. It was my first Baltimore Comic Con. It was my first big convention, so who knows. So then,
I mean,
like,
Paul Pope was doing free sketches.
Yeah,
so on, like, in ink.
So I didn't. Yeah, at least you can see those. But, like, and so then I guess his handler felt bad, and so then he gave me, like, a print that was an exclusive San Diego print from James Jean, like, numbered print. I mean, it wasn't, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to demolish James Jean because he is great, but the print wasn't anything that I would actually buy. But he's still a human. I mean,
still
but,
a human.
But they were like. But they were like, oh, here you can, or not James Jean, but his handler was like, here you can have this too. Because I guess he felt bad that I was, you know, like, what?
You were duped?
Yeah, that I was duped. And then, like, in my head I was like, is he going to ink this or what? Like, you know, like.
It's like, you going to finish this drawing,
like,
James?
But also,
I,
like,
spent some money on this thing.
But I mean, like, it's a
least you can do is finish it up.
It is a good drawing, but it's not anything that, like. Dude, it, like, honestly, like, it's seriously, he barely worked on it. Like, it was just like, okay, here. And then the handler was just like, $40. And I'm like, what? Like,
$40,
I mean, I am glad that I own it, and I do like James Jean, but that was just a weird altercation. And that's the only time I've ever paid for, like, a sketch like that. And I did actually pay Katie Cook $5 for a sketch. She's doing, like, mini watercolor sketches. I mean, I paid
Neil Adams $5 to trace his hand and sign it.
That's awesome. But, like, I guess what I'm saying is that I usually, like, I'm not saying that it's like, oh, I don't pay anybody. It's not like that. It's like, basically, I really don't go out of my way to, like, meet celebrities or anything like that. And I will pay for commissions. It's not that I won't. I've paid for tons of commissions and prints. It's just that, like, people need to have first of all, people need to have signage at their table. Like, that's a sure thing. Or if they don't, like, I have a sign that says, like, yes, I do commissions, doesn't have a price list, but I will go over, and I always say it depends what you want, and I'll go over it with the person, and we establish a price.
Yeah.
And right up front. You know, it's not like I draw it and then I tell them afterwards, you know? So I feel like there needs to be, like, conversation about what everything costs before these...
Well, it's usually broken down with headshot, yeah. Full body, half, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know, man. With the James Jean thing one, I don't think that was broken down at all, and I did not see that sign before. And even when I was like, I don't see a sign for it. And then, like, when I got back, I saw a sign. But anyway, I mean, that was just a weird altercation, and in a way, I just have to, like, love whatever I got from him and move on with my life. But... It's a weird thing, because I also didn't want to react like that in front of him, because it's kind of like what, you know, like I didn't want to be like insulting, but that seriously like was my natural reaction.
Yeah,
and I was kind of like younger at the time, so
that's where we got that black cat drawing from Kenneth Rockefeller.
Yeah, and Kenneth Rockefeller was doing like free drawings, and a whole bunch of artists were.
But
doing
this is
free
also,
drawings.
But this is also when he first started, though. Kenneth Rockefeller was just about to break the scene.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and also Kenneth Rockefeller's awesome, but like I think he should, you know, I don't know his dealings, but you know, like he's at that level now where he should charge more, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess what it comes down to is like your star level. And I think Neil Adams does has a point. I mean, there might be some people that are like, no, I don't want to charge because, you know, maybe they don't want to. And yeah. I will say, like, if you're doing anything more than like a quick sketch, I really do think you should charge because it's custom stuff. Like, for example, I haven't told you this, but I was actually interviewed by Mike Kavanagh for an article about this same topic. So maybe he'll put it out within the next few days.
Probably. Michael Kavanagh's awesome.
He is. So, but my, you know, my
that
theory,
that guy is he's bona fide.
He's bona fide. Yes, he is. But so my theory is like, you got to price your own work accordingly. Like, obviously if no one's ever heard of you and you're charging $100 for a signature, then who knows? Maybe one person will really want your signature.
If you can get some person,
if you can
pay
get
that,
one person get to pay that, you're good, you know. But
that resale value might not match that marketplace value at that point. So,
but also, you know, if you're like how we were saying, Kenneth at that time, he was, you know, establishing himself. So I felt like that he gained momentum.
Yeah, because at that point,
like he gained fans.
He was doing Madame Mirage, and from that point, Paul Dini, now he's done.
Like Superman.
Superman. He's worked for both Marvel and DC.
It's awesome. Everything he does is pretty spot on awesome. But like, I guess what I'm saying is like, if, you know, if you're a Neil Adams, like I can see $30.
Well,
I can see that.
Neil Adams sort of changed the game.
That's what I'm
saying.
So
it's like Frank Miller going up like, well, you owe me this much for my name, you know? So
I understand like why he's charging, like,
Neil Adams is the guys that he's one of the guys that fought for people to get their work paid and paid properly. That's why he's important.
So here's my deal. Like when people come to me, like I don't charge for signature, and I didn't even tell you this, but at Baltimore, there's two people came by, and every year Baltimore has a yearbook, and they usually have a property. Like this year was Mouse Guard, and what people do, they have other artists do Mouse Guard pinups for the book. And then people go around once they buy the book and then get everyone to autograph it. And it's like a hide and... Not, I shouldn't say hide and seek, but it's like a...
Scavenger
hunt. Thank you. It's a scavenger hunt. And then everyone that contributed that pinup signs for it. And then what some people do is they get everyone's autographs on like the front or back inside covers. And so actually two people, I know it's only two, but two people came up to me at Baltimore, like directly to me. Like they didn't go to anyone, like they weren't like going down the line getting autographs. They like were like, they went directly to me and then like left, left the area. But they wanted just my autograph like in the souvenir book. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's cool.
I felt like honored. I was like, oh, cool. Like they went direct to me. It wasn't, but I don't mind if people go down the line and just get everyone's autograph. That's cool too. But it felt cool that I was honored that they like came direct to me.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, like I didn't do a pinup for that, yearbook, but I'll be glad to sign it. And I didn't charge them for that. Cause like, honestly, I'm not at that Neil Adams level.
I mean, who will be?
Like, you know? Like it's quite blatant that right now, in this moment in life right now, I'm not going to charge people $30 for my autograph, even though that would be awesome. But like, I'm not, I just would feel guilty, and I'm not at that level right now to charge like that. So, you know, I signed for them for free. They didn't buy anything at the table, but that's fine. You know, I'm trying to gain a fan base here. That's like what, you know, Kenneth was doing free sketches at that time. And I'm trying to meet people, and I feel like most artists at the show are, like, at that level too, you know? Like, we're all just trying to gain our own fan bases and get our books out there. So, but I will say, like, if somebody buys a book, sometimes they're like, oh, can you sign it? Like, I'll sign it, and sometimes if I have time, I'll draw a little sketch.
Yeah.
Not anything elaborate, but just something cool, something fun. But I guess what it comes down to is that what I told Michael Kavanagh, my closing remarks was basically like, what I would like to see, though, is like, it's no different, charging for a signature is no different than meeting a celebrity for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, people are paying, you know, major bucks to meet these celebrities, and they really only get 30 seconds with them. It's not that much time. So what's happening now, and I'm glad that Neil Adams is, like, furthering this conversation, but I feel like artists need to be celebrities. So,
like, legit celeb, like...
Especially at the comic shows. If you're going to go to Baltimore Comic Con, it would be cool to have, like, you know, those big names.
So you have them, like, next to the celebrities?
I'm not saying, no, I don't think they necessarily need to be next to them, but it would be cool to, like, actually have...
They have to break the underground, then.
They have to break through, somehow have celebrities that break through that will charge $30 a signature or be on par with the level of some TV celebrity that's there that people want to meet and be like, hey, I don't mind paying $30 for this artist's signature. This artist is awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. It might not happen in the next few years, but who knows, maybe a decade from now, like, the artists will be treated as if they are celebrities.
Well,
and they should be.
Well, hopefully their own product will be able to reach beyond the mainstream superhero stuff. I think that's what has to happen.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, they got to create their own character that becomes as big as, like, a, you know, as big as a Captain America or a Batman.
Yeah.
Then they can be placed in that level.
I mean, it would be great to see someone break through at that level. I mean, obviously not everyone's going to be able to do that, but if a couple people do, then I would love to see that. I would love to see an artist be at that level of somebody for being on TV. Because people on TV, like, people make a big deal, like, oh my God, he's on TV.
All these fame hunters, you know?
You know, like, to me, like, that's cool. I totally, like, it takes so much effort just to, like, be cast as a certain thing on, or a certain character on TV.
Yeah.
But for an artist to get that type of level, I would love to see them be famous for being an artist and someone that everyone wants their autograph or everyone wants to be around. Let's make these celebrity artists happen, people. So that's why I'm not against people having their autographs for sale. I mean, no one there is, like, super rich anyway, so
yeah.
You gotta make it work, and if someone's willing to pay for it, then someone's willing to pay for it. If you don't want to pay $30, then you don't have to pay $30.
Yeah.
You can just say hi. You know? You can be like, I said hi to Neil Adams. You know what I mean? Like, he's not gonna... You know, just say you like his work, and that's that.
Yeah, just meet him.
Just meet him.
Let him know.
But yeah, it's an interesting discussion. I'm glad that it did open up. Like, I felt like Baltimore Comic Con this year opened up all these discussions.
All those discussions. And it's surprising, because I feel like this...
controversial on the Comic-Con controversy.
Something to talk about. Controversy in the comic book world. Controversy strikes.
It's a good discussion.
Controversy
though.
Strikes. Who's right? No one's right.
I mean,
no one's wrong. No
maybe
one's right.
People are just jealous that it's they can't charge $30 for their autograph. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really.
I mean, I'm not at that.
Some
level.
People are jealous they can't get as much money as they want. That's really what it comes down to. Is it? I don't know. Is it? I don't know. Is it? I don't know. This show is brought to you by Astray Productions. AstrayProductions.com. Go check out their work. They produce this show. Check out my work at JoeCarabeo.com. Also my films on one-shots.com. That's one-shots.com. Also check out my music at SoundCloud.com/Mr. Bandit. What am I missing something? Oh yeah, my Tumblr. Go astray.tumblr.com. Check out my newest work. Work. What do you got, Carolyn?
I have a comic strip called Curls, and you can check that out at www.curls-studio.com/curls. And I also have a website. It's carolynbilewski.com.
Excellent. Check us out. iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, carolynandjoeshow.com.
And we're on Twitter.
At AstrayJ, at Carolyn Bilewski. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.